Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Stu does America.
The day we've all been waiting for is finally here. Let's not waste even a moment and get started right away by doing the Jasmine Crockett era. Yes, she's actually running for Senate, and it's like my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Jasmine Crockett, of course, I'm a Riggs fan, and I just love the fact that she's out there spewing the things that she spews on a day-to-day basis. She's very entertaining. I've been told a terrible driver. I don't know if that part's true or not, I have to say. I can't confirm that, but I do have eyewitnesses. Just throwing that out there. But in addition to that, she's a moron and a lovable moron and the type of person you absolutely want to be your opponent. Let's get into her announcement because I think it's fascinating. Jasmine Crockett announces campaign for Texas Democratic Senate primary. There is a ton to go through. I mean, all the stuff that Jasmine Crockett said is as appropriate, you know, appropriately nuts as you think it is, but I want to start in another part of the announcement because you might know, like, you know, Kamala Harris or Barack Obama come out and they've got like Beyonce singing a song beforehand and they have that big announcement. Well, she did this as well. Our friend Jasmine Crockett. I like to call her Jasmine, but Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett, she had a campaign video that we're going to play first because this is her big announcement. And it's her, even her, now I say she's a moron, and everyone's like, gosh, you can't say that about her. Is that even true? I think she confirmed it because her entire announcement video seems to be Donald Trump calling her an idiot. Listen.
How about this new one they have, their new star, Crockett? How about her?
She's the new star of the Democrat Party, Jasmine Crockett. They're in big trouble.
But you have this woman, Crockett. She's a very low IQ person.
I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person.
Crockett.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
She's a very low IQ person.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Now they're going to rely on Crockett. Crockett's going to bring them back.
That is so cringy. My favorite part. Now, you might say, if you didn't hear, if you're on podcast, you didn't see any of that. She is staring to the side with kind of a profile view through all the Donald Trump insults. She then turns dramatically to the camera. Then does my favorite part, which is the overly exaggerated arm folding. It's like. And then she does the like smile, like I'm on top of this. I'm ready for a battle just like this. Oh, my little tacky. It's insane, and I love it. Okay, by the way, it was supposedly unlisted on YouTube. Like, she didn't even mean to put it out there, which is exactly how you'd expect she'd launch this campaign, like an idiot, which is great. I love it. Okay, so let me get to the now opening entertainment, because that's going to be fun. And by the way, does she have a chance to win this thing? She does, actually, as far as the primary goes. She is the number two on the list, which is a 48% chance. Colin Allred is at 1%, and that's we'll get into, you know, he left the race. James Tallarico is the other opponent, 53% chance of winning. So even with her announcement, she's not in first place, but she's certainly up there. Now, she makes this big statement in her initial campaign video that, oh, my gosh, I'm going to put a huge dent in this race. They're terrified of me. Here is the chances of Democrats winning the Senate. What you see here, and I'll explain this chart to our friends on podcasts, which is that the red line for Republicans is at 80% and has been at 80% for months and months and months and months and months. A 20% chance for the Democrats to win, and it's been the same for months and months and months and months and months. Not necessarily the impact probably she was looking for, because there's been basically none so far. Now, I want to tell you about Cure for Paranoia. Who is Cure for Paranoia? This is the band, the person, the rapper, well, I shouldn't say a band. It is not a band. He is a member of the Dallas Alternative Hip Hop Collective, which, of course, I'm sure you're a huge fan of. Why did he start this band? Well, he says, quote, I got placed on medication for bipolar depression. That's how his explanation starts. And by the way, not just bipolar, but paranoid schizophrenia. But it turned out that the music was more therapeutic than the medication was. So I created Cure for Paranoia, Science in Action here from the Democrats. It was a form of therapy, and I hope he thinks it could be therapy for other people too. Apparently, he's reaching a clear member of the paranoid schizophrenic community, Jasmine Crockett, because she's a big fan. And she invited him to come out on stage and do a new rap that he had written, apparently kind of about Jasmine Crockett and about how bad Donald Trump is. And the way they decided to perform it was to play the recording of him doing the rap and then him rap on top of it. And he can't really remember the words of his own rap, so he's reading them, and then he can't keep up with his own rap, so he just stops halfway through. It is a hell of a clip, and I want to share it with you right now in its entirety.
Okay. She ain't never scared and she ain't never been. Who is willing to go toe-to-toe against the president? I can't wrap my head around someone who votes Republican. She advocate for feeding kids. They protect folks touching them. Trump invading his own country with our army. What a joke. We remember Pearl Harbor by illegally bombing boats. What y'all thought we wasn't gonna do nothing, buddy? Think again. They only trying to scare out of running because they think she'll win. Listen, thought I told y'all we ain't never scared. Now look who name on the docket. Got two words for every racist bigot, Jasmine Crockett. Everyone in MAGA is a racist. Yeah, that might be true, but in all the history, I
know. Y'all hear the words.
The Nazi flag be blue. So which side you wanna choose? Me, I hope my money goes. Society isn't trying to say affordability's a hoax. She stand on business, Austin toes. Texas tote, don't need no more bad built, bleach blonde, butch bodies moving forward.
It's available on Spotify. Okay, let me go to some Jasmine Crockett. I'm going to be blasting on the way home. That and the My Little Pony song that I heard from Megyn Kelly today. Those two things are going to be my soundtrack for the day. How about Jasmine Crockett talking about her big announcement? Here she is. Get pumped up, America.
Yes, it is true. I am running to become your next United States Senator from the state of Texas.
Yes! I need to go to these events. I'm her biggest fan.
I honestly can't put into words what it means to me. You see, a lot of people think that making decisions like this, you take them lightly.
No one thinks that.
I'm here to tell you that I understand that there's a responsibility. I'm not reading from my script, so they're about to be confused.
Lots of people are very confused with what you're doing, Jasmine. But we appreciate it anyway. Okay, let me talk to her. You know, she sees herself as a big transformational figure in politics, of course. I mean, I say this often about Gavin Newsom, but it's true with Crockett as well. Nobody loves Jasmine Crockett as much as Jasmine Crockett does. Here she is talking about how she's basically Obama.
You know, I never thought that I would run for office, but some people are able to inspire others as they walk their own path. As a 27-year-old public defender walking in her path, there was someone who came along and inspired me. There was this charismatic, funny, intelligent,
funny?
And exciting young candidate with a funny name who got into the U.S. Senate and was running for president. Many doubted if this country was ready, while others, well, we got to work and kept hope alive.
Oh, you're a
hero.
We
didn't focus on the naysayers. We didn't get distracted by any pollsters.
He was winning
in the polls
the entire time.
We remained laser focused on getting the person who was best for the job into the seat. We didn't let history diminish our hope in what was possible.
Isn't that a Kamala line?
We ignored that the devil on our shoulder that sometimes tries to tell us your vote doesn't matter.
Huh?
The country's not ready.
Oh.
He can't win.
Mm.
And responded with that timeless American creed. Yes, we can.
Oh, drama.
Yes, I'm talking about President Barack Obama.
I love that. She's doing a big speech like, yes, there's a man with a black mask and he breathes and he's Luke's father. Yes, I'm talking about Darth Vader. Wow, what a journey you just took us on. That was incredible, Jasmine. Okay. Can Jasmine Crockett turn Texas blue? Of course she can. No, let's hope that she doesn't, but I still want her to win the primary. Here she is talking about that.
Turning Texas blue is what I want to talk to y'all about today. Now, there are those that say, ain't no way, we done tried it 50 kinds of ways. Let me be clear, y'all ain't never tried it the JC way. We used to telling us what I can't do, but they have no idea what Crockett's crew will do.
Oh.
And so I just want to be clear, for all the haters in the back, listen up real loud. We gonna get this thing done.
Why did the haters come to your gathering? I just want to quote her because I feel like maybe you didn't get the full perspective of that particular soundbite. And this is the sort of eloquence I believe Barack Obama brought to the table as well. Now there are those who say ain't. No way we didn't try it at 50 kinds of ways. Let me be clear. And that was a good point for her to say, because when you say a sentence like that, being clearer is a good option. But she goes and becomes clear by saying, y'all ain't never tried it the JC way. We used to telling us what I can't do. But they have no idea what Crockett's crew will do. Dr. Seuss, original author of that, of course. Now, by the way, this isn't about, I want you to know, this is not about, she's not, because she's like looking to be a riser in politics. She's not like, you know, ambitious or anything. Here she is talking about that.
This isn't about me or them. It's about you and us. This is not about ambition.
No.
It's not about my ambition. It's about yours.
Oh, wait, you screwed
your hopes
it up again.
And your dreams and a government that has your back, not pushes you back.
Not about her at all. Now, it's funny when you say it's not about a government that is about a government that has your back and not pushes you back. You think it would be somebody that might define a conservative philosophy where they're not involved in every single aspect of your life. What she, of course, actually wants is the government in every single aspect of your life, no matter what. Strange way of stating that. But of course, she doesn't mean any of it. OK, now you might say one thing I will not do is go to this woman for math. And I will say that's a very good idea. Here she is talking about her deep spreadsheet analysis of the polls.
After evaluating the data, analyzing the trends, researching historic numbers, and combing over the crosstabs, it was clear the numbers were strongest for my candidacy for United States Senate.
Is it? Because you're not winning.
That's why I decided to enter this race, because otherwise I would have continued doing what I've always done, which is support whichever candidate had the strongest numbers.
Right.
So I want to be clear.
What?
I'm not running just to run. This is about winning.
Does anyone on earth believe that Jasmine Crockett was combing through the crosstabs of a poll? I'm going to go with no, first of all. Also, what kind of admission is this? What I've always done, which is support whichever candidate had the strongest numbers. It's like, look, I'm going to do what I've always done. Support the team that won the Super Bowl last year. Now, of course, in my case, my team did win the Super Bowl last year. Let's delete what you think about the Eagles game last night and just remember that day back in February. Okay, this is actually kind of a funny moment. She's talking about children, and, you know, children are important to her. As you know, children are our future, but not necessarily her future.
Child care has become a second rent. Y'all say amen if you got children, because y'all know I ain't got none. I heard they expensive.
I also heard they expensive. Okay, here is her, of course, obviously the only reason that anyone would even consider voting for her is because they like her on, you know, MSNBC when she says mean things about the president. Here they are.
Well, Trump, I know you're watching. So let me tell you directly.
I don't think he's watching.
You're not entitled to a damn thing in Texas.
To win easily.
You better get to work, because I'm coming for you.
Uh-oh.
He knew he would lose. So Trump did what he always does. Resort to lying, cheating, and stealing.
Oh, we're cheating.
He has rigged our elections once again by changing the lines in the middle of an election cycle.
Okay, that's enough. That one's interesting, because I find it fascinating that now the Democrats can accuse the Republicans of stealing elections and cheating, which is fascinating. They were really upset about that when Donald Trump did it. It's also the thing where she, at the end, is like, oh, gosh, I'm living in your head rent-free. I know you're watching Donald Trump, which reminded me of this moment from Mad Men.
I feel bad for you. I don't think about you at all.
Okay, so let me, I've got a couple more things that I'm starting to run late. Here is, let me see, should I do this one? I'm going to skip this next one. Let me just give you the last one. Thank you the last one here about taxes, because this is important. This is, we got no policy there, right? It was just a bunch of blathering. But we did get a policy in April 2024 that she wants to try out. She gives you the whole origin story of how she thought of it, which is fascinating. But here is a really important Jasmine Crockett policy idea.
Just this past week, I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity. And I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea.
Okay.
But I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they proposed is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket.
Great
but
idea.
But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars.
Who could object?
But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things,
but the
fact is, like, we end up being so far behind.
Right.
And so it's like, how do you bring fourth people exactly? And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really exactly
that's a fascinating one, because she's working through it in her brain. Of course, obviously, quite obviously, it's unconstitutional to say a race isn't going to pay taxes, number one. Beyond that, she regards, like, hey, wait a minute, the people that don't pay taxes wouldn't get any help. And then you realize, well, they kind of already implemented this policy by not charging the people who were struggling any taxes. So the brain's working. But I can tell you this, saying only whitey should pay taxes is a winning strategy for Texas. That I'm sure of. The blatant racism against white people and just giving entire races free passes on taxes, that's going to win you Texas like nobody's business. I have more, if you can believe it, on Jasmine Crockett. We'll do that next. Once again, as you're thinking about sports right now, do not think about what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles last night. Now, this is one of the biggest stretches of the year for sports fans. Lots of great stuff going on, like all the sports outside of baseball, pretty much in action. PrizePicks gives you a fun, fast way to stay plugged into everything that's going on. You'd open up the app, you look at the player projections, and you choose at least two athletes that you think will outperform or underperform their expected numbers. That's it. That's your lineup. And you're building it takes basically like a few seconds. Early payouts can lock you into a successful entry if your picks are performing well. They've got Flex Play, which offers a little margin for error. They've got Power Play for, you know, if you want to go for the max payout. You can even create stacks, which is basically getting the same athlete in a bunch of different stat categories in a single lineup. You have tons of ways to play. It's really, really fun. It's really, really easy. And deposits and withdrawals are quick, secure, and supported by the major payment methods you probably already use. So managing your account feels effortless from start to finish. Download the PrizePicks app today. Use the code STEW. Get $50 in lineups after you play the first $5 lineup you have. The code is STEW to play. Get $50 in lineups after you play only $5. It's PrizePicks, and it's good to be right.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mild würzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Let's dive back in and continue to rock it with Crockett. Yes, Jasmine is in the race, and her pastor is also in the race. Jasmine Crockett's pastor jumps into the race for her North Texas seat, which they talk a lot about being drawn away, but it was adjusted with the redistricting process, but was not eliminated. So they need somebody to run for that race. It's going to be the pastor. And, you know, I will say, you might say, well, are you playing, you know, what do you got here? I got to tell you. This is quality stuff. You're going to like this guy. His name is Frederick Haynes III. This is entertaining stuff. Here he is talking on Jasmine's behalf.
I'm so excited, I can't even hide it. Why? Because whenever justice needs a defender and democracy needs a bodyguard, who you gonna call? Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett is that sister. That
yeah.
sister who stands
yes.
10 toes down for
Wait, what
is right in the face of what is wrong. I love it because of the fact that the Republicans
uh-huh.
use racism to
yeah.
draw her out of her own district.
Yes.
What they intended for evil, God has a way of working out for good.
Mm.
And so now this same Jasmine Crockett is ready to step up. And when she steps up, you know that she speaks out.
I find these types of pastors just be so fascinating. Like they're so able to just without stuttering or stopping or, you know, even seeming to gather their thoughts at all. They're just that rhythmic speech. It's really legitimately impressive. I don't know how they do it. You might not know. You might think, is Jasmine Crockett a bad sister? You might have an opinion on that. But did you know she's actually the baddest sister?
Everybody in the nation knows Jasmine Crockett. She's the baddest sister out there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Jasmine Crockett. And yet, as amazing as she is, as phenomenal as she is, she's remained a friend to everyday people. She's someone you can talk to and touch.
Wait.
She listens to you.
Wait,
I'm talking about Jasmine Crockett. So since Jasmine is a fighter, since she's a facilitator and a friend to everyday people, I guess I'll close by saying the future is bright.
I don't even understand. By the way, is that part of the deal that we can touch Jasmine Crockett? Because I don't really have interest in that, but I would think she'd be a little upset about that particular proposal from the pastor. But apparently, if you're going to vote for her, you can also touch her. By the way, polls on this particular race. Basically, three things going on. Three Republicans in the race and against two different Democrats. Let me give you the breakdowns here. Jasmine Crockett versus Ken Paxton. It's a Crockett trailing by two. Hunt versus Crockett is Crockett trailing by five. Cornyn versus Crockett is Crockett trailing by six. Tallarico is the opponent in the primary for the Democrats, again, going against Crockett. He trails by three against Paxton, six against Hunt, and three against Cornyn. So, you know, the idea that she's going to perform much, much worse than anyone else in the field, that doesn't really seem to be the case. We know Colin Allred already dropped out of this. You might say, well, why do you care so much about Texas Senate? I mean, obviously I live here, but why do you care if you're not in Texas? It's just going to be a lot of fun. That's why you care, because this is going to be an awesome race to follow. Now, of course, the Senate race is massively important, and I want to describe it to you this way. People come to me and they say, you keep cheering on Jasmine Crockett. You better watch it. You better watch it. You know, what if she wins? It's a great point, and I will be very regretful if that comes to pass. Now, I will say, I do have fears over this at some level, because the American people at times can be really, really shockingly, bizarrely dumb when the people that they vote for. We've seen this in the past over and over again. I will say the Democrats probably had conversations that like I'm having when talking about Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh, we'd love to have him be the opponent. Are you crazy? And then, of course, they realize that's 2015 and he's about to win two presidential terms over the next decade. So this can burn you. And if it goes wrong, I just want to say, first of all, you're free to talk to me and say how angry you are at me. I get it. You know, it's going to be a terrible, terrible moment. But it's going to be the least of your worries, because if she's able, a woman like this, a crazy person in every single possible way, is able to win the state of Texas, 2026 is going so badly that the last thing you're going to care about is what's going on in Texas, because it's going to be a massive majority for the Democrats if she's able to win this. She is a terrible candidate for Texas. She's fun. I love her. This is why I want her in the race, because she's so terrible. Let me just give you a little insight on how she is behind the scenes. I've already mentioned there are reports she's a terrible driver. I'm not going to tell you where that came from, but there are reports that she's a terrible driver. Cuts people off frequently in her travels. I don't know. I mean, it's a rumor. It's a rumor going around. But this is also a little bit more than a rumor. A story called A Democrat for the Trump Era, Jasmine Crockett, is testing out the coarse style of politics that the GOP has embraced. So even Jasmine Crockett is Trump's fault somehow. But what's fascinating about this more than anything else is the author of this particular story. When she posted her own story, it's in The Atlantic. She's no right winger. She posted this story, and she posted it with this anecdote, which explains Jasmine Crockett so perfectly. So Elaine Godfrey is the author. She says, 4 days before my story was published, Crockett called me to express frustration that I had reached out to so many House members without telling her first. She told me, quote, shutting down the profile and revoking all permissions. I don't think you understand how any of this works. The reporter doesn't need to tell you when they're calling people for comment, number one. Number two, you don't get to shut down a profile. That's not how that works. And number three, there are no permissions you're revoking. They don't have to respect that. And there's nothing that you give a journalist appropriate permission to do. So anyway, she's a complete moron and nonsensical. And that's why I want her to win the Democratic primary so much. Of course, yes. And all these people are getting on board now. Oh, Jasmine Crockett 2026. Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm ahead of the game. Jasmine Crockett 2028. The merch is there. StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. Back in a second. I want to tell you a little bit about Beams Dream Powder, which is delicious, by the way. It's a healthy nighttime blend packed with science-baked. I've got cinnamon brownies on my mind and caramel brownies on my mind, because that is, of course, one of the flavors of the hot chocolate that is Beams Dream Powder. Science-backed ingredients shown to improve sleep. You can wake up refreshed and ready to take on the wonderful day ahead. When I found Dream, everything kind of changed, because it's been a game changer for me. And I mentioned this too, my daughter, who, you know, sometimes has problems getting to sleep at night, definitely can be an issue occasionally. And then she can't get up in the morning. Well, Dream is made with a powerful blend of all natural ingredients. And some of them are reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. It's designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling amazing. And unlike other sleep aids, there's no next day grogginess. It's just great, restful sleep. Plus, Dream tastes really incredible, honestly. It is really delicious. I just like drinking it because I like to drink it. Though you should probably wait till nighttime, because you know you might be very well rested. If you've been waiting for the right time to try Dream, now's the time. Shopbeam.com/stew. The code is Stew. Take advantage of the exclusive offer, up to 40% off Beams Dream Powder. So use that discount code, Stu, don't forget that, and use the get some of the Dream Powder for like $39, which is like $1 a night, which is awesome. Okay, with the discount, I think it's just over $1 a night. Shopbeam.com/Stu, shopbeam.com/Stu.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV, aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
I'm joined once again by Christian Toto, film critic and host of Hollywood in Toto, the podcast. He has a new piece out over the Blaze as well. It's Can Conservatives Reclaim Pop Culture? Be sure to check that out. I want to get into that in a second. Christian, you know, people have seen you on the Blaze and everywhere. Megyn Kelly, I know you were on with her as well. I was there today, too. So, of course, check those episodes out. Thanks for coming on the program.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I want to start with Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel, of course, he was brutally targeted by the administration. And I mean, it was almost a death threat, because he lost 4 crappy shows that he could have possibly done. and it was interesting to see, because this business, as we know with Colbert, is in massive trouble. Outside of the fact, I think, even that they're liberal, just the model is a complete disaster. It's so expensive. So Colbert's gone. There was some speculation that Kimmel would be gone as well. They seem to be bringing him back, but is this a real vote of confidence?
Not even close. He's going to be back for about a year plus. That's a new contract. And usually when big stars sign contracts, it's not this limited, but I think there's a real reason for it. Listen, the bottom line is that this platform is dying. Revenues are way, way down. Ratings are down as well. And, you know, what happened with ABC when they suspended Jimmy Kimmel for a week, the Hollywood community rose up and just outraged. They were just furious about it, in part because they lost the vehicle to promote their shows, in part because they love his messaging. And I think that ABC said, oh my gosh, we can't really get rid of him right now. The black guy within our community would be pretty intense. So this one-year-ish contract is a way to kind of get out of that area, let things cool down. And then if the marketplace still hasn't changed in a year or so, they could probably part ways.
Yeah, I mentioned my love of a radio station in New York, WFAN, a couple times today on various shows for whatever reason. But I remember back in the day, WFAN had a host, Steve Summers, who was, you know, being a host on the show, a big host on the station, but he was going to be let go. And when he was being let go, Jerry Seinfeld, a huge star at the time, who was a real fan of him, said, you can't do this. Like, I will come on. I will do segments with you. That he came on the air. I remember it all playing out. It's sort of a version of that, right? Like, they're saying, like, well, we love this guy. We don't care if he doesn't get any ratings. And ABC knows they need these relationships with these stars. So they're just like, I guess we just sign him for another year and see what happens.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that'll play out. One is, listen, Colbert's going to go away in May of 2026. Now, it's possible that some of Colbert's audience will gravitate to Kimmel. It's a very similar act at this point. So I think they may be holding out hope that his ratings will perk up. I think that's a possibility there as well. So that could happen. But also, you know, the thing we're not talking about as much is the reports were that The Late Show with Stephen Colbert was losing CBS $40 million a year. Mm. Now, we get no information about what Jimmy Kimmel Live is making or losing, but the shows are pretty similar. The ratings are similar, though Colbert has almost always been beating him. Is that show losing money? And if so, why is it still on the air in the first place? Mm. What's going on behind the scenes? I mean, is this a charity they're running, or is this just a way that they love the messaging that goes out with these shows and they're willing to bite the bullet and say, hey, we'll lose some cash. We'll make it up elsewhere. We just want this on the air. It's a question no one's asking.
Yeah, I do think that's true. I mean, there's no way they're making money on that show. And it's fascinating because it used to be like, this was the thing where, hey, we don't want to spend all this money on, written drama or written comedy. Mm-hmm. We're going to save money. We're just going to throw a guy out there and he can do it. And now they're losing tens of millions of dollars on those shows, too, which is amazing. I want to move over to another business that's fascinating to me. This whole situation with Warner Brothers, Netflix, and Paramount. If you haven't followed the story, Warner Brothers reported sale to Netflix, which was not really the expected winner of that battle. Huge price. I can't even remember. Maybe you know if $83 billion is the number.
Yeah.
A huge number to get their whole catalog and everything, move it over to Netflix. Paramount, who was the favorite, it seemed like, coming into this negotiation, winds up saying, well, we're going to try a hostile takeover bid. What does all this mean, you know, for these companies and for us as people who just like watching television?
Well, it's going to get ugly, I'm sure. It's already ugly as is. This is partly about eliminating the competition. This is partly about getting more intellectual properties in your arena. So if it's HBO, you've got Game of Thrones, The Sopranos, you've got DC Comics. There's so many different ways to go about this. Harry Potter, you could spin it off in a million new directions. That's part of it as well. Also, Netflix is massive. It's the real streaming giant at this point. You take that platform, you add all of HBO content and other Warner Brothers properties. It's going to be really tough to beat them. So that's part of what's going on. Of course, the bigger question for many is the theatrical model, which has been struggling in years. The ticket sales aren't what they used to be. And now you've got Netflix, a company that likes you to Netflix and chill, stay at your house, don't go to the theater. Now, they're saying they're going to honor the theatrical model and let Warner Brothers films keep being played on big screens. Will that hold? I mean, is this a pinky promise? What's going on here? So lots of big questions. And there's so much flux in Hollywood that this is the main story. And it really, part of me thinks the changes are inevitable. Maybe this will hasten them. I don't know. But it's a big deal. And we should all be paying attention to it because the future of content may really depend on it.
Yeah. My favorite conspiracy theory on this is that Netflix went in there and just kept bidding higher and higher and higher and higher until they won the bid, knowing that either, you know, they, you know, might lose in some, hostile takeover and cost Paramount a bunch of money, or that the government will overturn it. And so they could just waste 2 years of Paramount's time. I don't know that I believe it, but I think it's a fun conspiracy.
That's actually better than most, I have to say. Could be a kernel of truth there, but who knows? But it is a big deal, and it does shape a lot of entertainment companies, you know, and it could change the culture. I mean, people, younger generation, maybe not as enamored of going to the theaters. The prices are expensive. The popcorn is exorbitant just to buy a, you know, just to get a little snack. And, you know, maybe people just want to stay home, play video games, go on social media. There are cultural changes afoot that are really far different than any other threat to the theatrical model than ever before. You know, we worried about VHS and Blu-ray and the rise of pay TV and cable TV. Oh, it's going to kill the movies. Not even close. This feels different.
Yeah, it does. Although I will say, I still freaking love going to the movie theater, especially the dine-in theaters. I could do that like literally every night and be happy with my life. Let me move over to a movie that's coming to be in theaters very soon. The third sequel in the series for Avatar. They are saying, you know, a couple of $1 billion might come in on this. I had a bet with a friend of mine who's kind of a Hollywood insider, and before the second one came out. And the bet was, basically, my bet was, this has made no impact, this movie. No one can name a character. There's no memes from this movie. There's no scene that people remember. It just is like a blob of technology, and it's not even a movie. He was totally on the other side of that. At the end of the day, he was kind of proven right, though I did win the bet by like $30,000 on box office revenue. I was proud of myself on that. But like, you know, at the end of the day, it did make a ton of money. What are we expecting out of this new one?
Well, actually, you're both right. It has no cultural footprint. You don't see kids dress up as Jake Sully, one of the characters. I had to kind of do a double take on that one just to remember it. Yeah. You don't see the lunch boxes. You don't see people arguing on social media. It just exists. But the bottom line is that James Cameron, the director, makes roller coaster rides, and his movies look spectacular. And he has this grasp of 3D that no one else has. So even if the new film is very successful, and I think it will be, there's no fallout from it in a creative fashion. There's no, people just don't talk about it. So like I said, you're both right. It's going to make a lot of money, but what is this? I mean, you know, we still talk about the Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. We fight about the MCU. I get all that. We bicker, we agree, we disagree. Nobody cares about these movies. And just recently, James Cameron said, oh, by the way, this is going to close the chapter on this Avatar cycle. I may make more movies, but it's going to be a different saga. So I think even he admits, as successful as they are, and they're wildly successful, in a way, he missed the target. It's very odd. And I can't think of any other franchise or any other property that has this quality, this lack of anything.
It really is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in Hollywood. Like, you're right. There's just like there's no like big theories. There's no debates. There's no like, it just feels like it's just this dead thing that just keeps making $2 billion every 3 years. It's a very strange thing. You mentioned looking spectacular, which brings me to Sydney Sweeney. She's in the news again. She's doing an interview with People. And she's finally addressing the American, what was it,
American Eagle.
American Eagle. Thank you so much. I couldn't remember it. The American Eagle commercial that she made, which is the you know, I have great genes. She says, you know, I was worried it was going to be some big apology, which I would be very annoyed by. It's not at all. It's just her saying, like, look, I'm going to address it because everyone's talking about it and it's become more of a distraction that I'm not saying anything. But like, I just like jeans. Like it's a jeans commercial. I don't know what people took out of it. I have no connection to those views whatsoever. It's insanity. I just really like jeans. I really like these jeans. I don't know. She just seems like the person doing it right. You know, she just seems like she's kind of always addressing these situations in the right way.
I mostly agree. I thought her statements, most recent statements, were a smidge of a backpedal because she did the whole I'm against hate and divisiveness kind of a spiel. Don't like that. I think she's been handling it perfectly up until now. But here's the bottom line. She's a young actress. She's having her moment. And she's had multiple films in recent months that have been very, very performed badly at the box office. Christie, which is actually a very good film, didn't get her a nomination for a Golden Globe and has made an incredibly small amount of money. So I think she looks at her path right now as being limited. She's in an industry that wants her to do the apology tour. And she doesn't want to do that. So she kind of maybe did it partially. I mostly agree with what you're saying, but I think that, and I've said this on social media and I got yelled at quite a bit. I think conservatives should have had her back. I think they should have supported her. They should have tried to go to her movies and you know, say, hey, listen, you're going to speak out and or not go that path. We got your back because the culture matters at this point. And I think that she didn't see that, didn't get that reception. And I think she's just hedging her bets just a little bit. Again, not a full apology, not a full backpedal, but you could see, you can sense that her agent's like, you know, your movies aren't doing well. We need to kind of make sure that you're not alienating people in Hollywood. I think that's what we're seeing here right now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think she did get that conservative backing when it came to the commercial, right? Like people were like, she just, this is fine. We like this. This is American stuff. Like we're glad that she got that stupid question from that one reporter and she just kind of stared at her. I think she got that, but she, I will say, like, I actually was interested in just seeing the movie, Christy, because it looked like an interesting story and like it seemed to get really good reviews. But that's probably the reason she doesn't get the Golden Globe, right? This jeans commercial that she did that is unrelated to this. And I hate that. You know, she should just be judged on her merits, but, you know, it's Hollywood.
No, it didn't help her, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No question.
It's true. Before we go, I want to hit your Blaze story. It's up. It's actually on the Align vertical. It's, can conservatives reclaim pop culture? You know, give me your theory here. Do you think there's a chance that conservatives could kind of like, you know, maybe make a massive impact here? Do you think it's just like, hey, can we at least get a slice of this pie? what's your approach here?
I think it's a slice and hopefully be a fairly large slice. But what's going on now, you know, The Blaze, Daily Wire, they're producing original content for sure. Some independent creators are doing the same. Angel Studios are making movies that amplify light. And of course, you've got all the people on YouTube who are kind of making content outside of the liberal groupthink system. But then you have Paramount, owned by David Ellison. You got his dad, Larry, who's a Trump supporter. David doesn't seem averse to the heartland and seems to be embracing some projects that could be heartland friendly. And I, you know, just having a studio that is not walking in lockstep with the left, that is maybe open to different ideas, is a big deal. Of course, if they could do that hostile takeover and wrest Warner Brothers, it's a much bigger deal, but we need a foothold in this culture. And I think there's also money to be made, and that matters too. I mean, we've seen a rise of faith-based movies last 10, 20 years. That's because they're profitable for the most part. So I think you follow the money, you follow a studio that isn't aghast at the thought of telling stories that appeal to all of America. It's the best we have, and maybe it's the best we've had in quite a while.
Yeah, I really think there's something to this, and not just in movies, but like this is happening in news as well. I mean, if you look at a little bit at the Washington Post, a little bit more at CBS News, you know, even more on social media with X. Like, there's a change where, like, some big conservatives have stepped up and said, hey, like, let's just go in there and change things a little bit, get it back to halfway normal. Yeah. That's a really positive development, especially if we can see that, not to mention in news, but also in Hollywood. Mm. Christian
Toto. Yeah, and the media is going to resist it, too. We'll have to wait and see.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know that's happening. Christian Toto, film critic, host of Hollywood in Toto, the podcast. Don't miss his new piece over at The Blaze. It is conservative. Can conservatives reclaim pop culture? It kind of explains this and how they can approach it in all the different ways. Christian, I really appreciate you coming on, and thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks so much.
One of the smartest things you can do for your family is remove the guesswork from really serious situations like medical preparedness. And Jace Medical has built an entire system around that idea. It starts with the Jace case. It's a doctor-designed kit of emergency antibiotics and medications that covers the situations you never see coming. And then there's Jace Daily. Jace Daily is really cool because it can be a 12-month supply of your essential prescriptions. If there's one you're taking every day, think about that if that were not around. You don't want to be at the mercy of a pharmacy shortage or a shipping delay. They have Jace Aid, a first aid kit ranging from everyday care to serious trauma support. And having one in your home or car is just a great idea, really a vital resource. And they even have stuff like ivermectin in multiple formats, making it easy to keep whatever treatment you need on hand for when you need it. And because this is, of course, the time of year where it's all about taking care of the people that you value, Jace has made preparedness something you can actually share with gift cards. And there were currently 20% off. Also, business owners can grab the Jace Mini First Aid Kit as a practical, meaningful holiday gift for their teams. All this is to say, they've got you covered at Jace. Go to jace.com. Anything you need in this world, they're going to help you out with it. Enter the promo code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at jace.com, jase.com. Some fun stuff to remind you of if you're looking for something to listen to today. I was on with Megyn Kelly for most of the show today. Something to check out was actually a really fun conversation. So much craziness in the world right now, and we had a great chat. So check that out. It's the episode that airs today in podcast. And then, of course, we have StuDoesAmerica.com. Go there, subscribe to Blaze TV, get access to the entire network. If you go to Blaze TV, you go to studiosamerica.com and use the code STU at checkout. I think it's $20 off right now. And one last reminder, get your Jasmine Crockett merch before everyone's got it and you're no longer cool for having it. studiosmerch.com, the code STU10, save 10%. See you tomorrow.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder, Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser